Praise God. That was an appropriate song, wasn't it? Because if you're at all like me, and I suspect you are, the further you go, the more you know how unable you are and how much you need the Lord if anything's going to change. But that's the way it is. It's the way it's supposed to be. And, you know, I feel my need more than usual this morning. But again, that's a good thing. We just don't like that. But that's the way it needs to be if the Lord's going to actually do something and have His way. And that's what I pray this morning. Last week I read the first three verses of 1 John, and I'd like to read them but go on a little bit and just trust the Lord to bring out what He wants. And 1 John, beginning at the beginning, says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Now we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you: God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us." There's some powerful words in that. And, you know, I just pray that God will bring out what He wants, but will do it with His Spirit and His and the heart that is behind these words. You know, I grew up in a religious movement that had certain emphases. They called it deeper life. You know, the sanctification, different words for that. And I'll have to say that a lot of my growing up years, I was exposed to a doctrine, an idea that there are actually two works of grace. You know, we think of salvation and entering in as a work of grace, don't we? That's something only God can do, and it's a point in time where we are born again. But there are not a few groups out there who believe that there's a second door that you're supposed to pass through. And, you know, you get in the door, okay, but now there's something deeper. Now you've got to go through this second door to get into this other realm where suddenly everything is the way it's supposed to be. And you live this deeper life with the Lord. And, you know, some people will attach that to tongues. Some other people will to other things. And Brother Thomas used to tell us about people that he met that actually believed that there was a place where we didn't sin anymore. You could actually enter into full sanctification and nobody sinned. Of course, they made mistakes, but they didn't sin. But, you know, if you read this, it's pretty evident that either their doctrine is wrong or John had never experienced it, because he said, "if we." But I believe that there is a, you know, I struggled with a lot of these things growing up. You know, how do you get it? How do you know you have it? What's the deal here? How does this work? And I'll have to say that I've met and knew of a lot of people that really had the deal, had the real thing. I mean, they had a deeper walk with the Lord. There's no question about it. How many of you believe that's what the Lord wants for us? But I believe with all my heart that what John is teaching here is the pathway to that, that God has not called us to simply, you know, enter in and get this ticket to heaven, and then later on, you know, we come to this place where, okay, now we really enter in. There is a walk that begins the moment we are born again. There is a work that God has promised to do in us And it will not be complete until the day of Jesus Christ. There's a progressiveness to salvation. You know, I have more than once over the years pointed out that it's not the death of Jesus that saves us. And of course, that shocks some people. But what the death of Jesus does is reconcile us to the Father. It takes the barrier of the guilt of my sins out of the picture, removes it so I can actually have a relationship with a holy God. Okay? Now, salvation is not just that. Salvation is changing the guy that committed the sins in the first place. That's my need. I need to be saved not just from the guilt of what I've done, but from the guy that's done it. And I don't need a tune-up. I don't need a religious tune-up. I need a new engine. And, of course, the new engine is the Lord Himself. And so this fits very much in that picture of what God has called us to, is a walk with Him that changes us. And I suspect that you're like me. If you have any sensitivity to the Lord at all, you know you've got there's a lot of changes that are needed. And it's one of the things that causes me to stand back and say, who am I to stand here and say any of this? I need it worse than anybody else. But the reality is, John needed this. John had not gone beyond the need for this. Paul ministered in great power, and yet he said, I haven't arrived. I haven't got there. I'm pressing forward every day. There's new ground to take. I haven't taken everything yet. I haven't entered into this mythical Canaan land that some people paint, where there's nothing bad ever happens anymore, and I'm just in total victory all the time. I'm in a euphoric state. You know, I believe God wants to move in His people, and I believe He can come, and I've experienced Him coming in power. Some of you have too, where all of a sudden the Lord's presence is there, and everybody's just, wow, it's amazing. But you know, God hasn't called us to live in that realm, has He? He's called us to walk by faith and to grow and to learn from Him and to be thankful when those times come. But when we're in the valley and we don't have those feelings, He is just as real, just as much with us. And so what John is talking about, again, is the eternal life, that resurrection life we talked about last week, that he shares with us, and he has removed the barrier of sin that prevented a holy God from actually having a relationship with us. Okay? And so now we have this relationship, and it gives us a relationship not only with the Father, but also with His Son and with every other one who shares that life. There's an ongoing relationship. So now John comes to the point where he begins to flesh that out, begins to tell us what's involved in that. And it's interesting where he begins. Of course, he begins by telling us the simple message that he wants to declare, and it's God is light. That's real complicated. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. You know, we have a lot of ideas, people have a lot of ideas about God, and a lot of people want to make God in their own image, make Him so sentimental that he'll put up with most anything. I'll tell you, we got a holy God. Praise God. You know, I'll drop this in. I read this the other day, and I absolutely agreed with it. I had never particularly thought about the point. But the point made by the writer was that people misunderstand John 3:16, where it says, God so loved the world. And how they read it is, God so loved the world. It's just the quantity of His affection or something like that. And boy, how easy it is to twist that into, oh, He loves me so much, He'll just put up with it. He knows everything's wrong with me, He'll put up with it. God so loved means in this way. It's the manner in which He loved the world. He loved the world by doing something about the sin which has separated us. He is a pure and holy God, and we certainly have pictures of it in Scripture, too, that we often refer to. One is the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Nobody could go in there and without dying. There's no way a sinful person could walk into that place without dropping dead. Only one person could go in there, and that was once a year, and with a great deal of sacrifice and cleansing ceremony. I mean, was God communicating something? We're not like Him. It takes a divine miracle for people like you and like me to have any kind of relationship with a God who's like this. And again, the other example we point out so often is Isaiah, who no doubt, here's a man used of God. His tongue spoke forth the very words of God, and yet all of a sudden he's brought into the presence of the Lord. He sees the incredible purity of that place. Instantly he knew, I'm undone, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Think about that in the context of a prophet now. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I've seen the Lord. Folks, we need to see the Lord. And there's a reason that John begins with this picture of the utter purity of the Lord. Because we can get so careless, sometimes without meaning to, in recognizing who he is. And we almost bring him down, like I say, beyond what he really is. He is a high and holy God. I'm thankful he's made a way that I can know him. But my God, it's going to be on his terms, not mine. He doesn't come down to just, you know, bless me in an earthly sense. There's a transformation that has to happen in my heart and my life. And so he goes from that to this. And remember, he's not writing this to unbelievers. Remember that as we read through this. Because I have tended to read this as, well, this verse is talking about unbelievers. This one's talking about believers, you know, and it jumps back and forth. He's talking about all of us. And conditions that can exist that get in the way of the fellowship, the ongoing day-to-day relationship that God wants to have with his people. Why don't we have more of his blessing and power than we do? You think there might be a reason? You think it's because God is just holding out on us, doesn't care? Do you think if the conditions were the way he wants them, that he would hesitate for one second to pour out his Spirit upon his people? Folks, we got some needs. That's the thing that's made me reluctant to stand up here and very cautious about it, because I'm, and yet I thank God for the sense of need. If we don't have a sense of our own need and begin to hunger and say, oh God, help me, do something about this, we're going to stay like we are. And we could very easily get in the condition that the Laodicean church found itself. You know, the vision that John had and the message for the Laodicean church didn't even point out anything that was particularly wrong. They didn't have any false prophets. They weren't condoning sin in the, you know, as we think of it. There wasn't anything wrong except they were lukewarm. They had just settled into a comfortable routine. This is what it means to live the Christian life, and I'm doing it, and everything's cool. And didn't realize they had lost what John was talking about here. This relationship, this moment by moment, day by day relationship with a holy God. How in the world can such a thing be? Well, let's find out what stands in the way of that. If we claim to have fellowship with him. So here's a believer, really. I mean, this could obviously apply to somebody who's just religious, but it could apply to a believer. We claim, oh, everything's cool, I'm good. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. I wonder how many things that we allow in our lives and just make excuses for that fit this category. It's not things we don't know about, things we do know. Well, we need the Lord. I knew it was going to be a quiet service this morning. But I tell you, there's a soberness. I believe it's a joyful soberness. I believe God is telling us things that we need to know, not because he's mad at us, but because he longs to have this ongoing relationship with us. He wants to bring us to that place where we can enjoy Him, enjoy His presence, and have His power and His presence, and see Him at work. So much of what was said in the men's meeting this morning was us getting to a place where God can work in and through us. That's what He longs to do. There's no problem on His end. But there are needs in us that I believe He wants to address. And there's a reason, like I say, that John begins in this area of truth. So here's a situation where somebody that claims that the things are cool with them and God, they have this relationship, and yet you observe their walk. I wonder what our young people see when they look at us. And they're around us. What are they seeing? Are they seeing what God wants for us? God, help us to be willing to be honest. So anyway, there's the conundrum here, where you've got people who actually understand God wants fellowship with me, and I'm in fellowship with Him, but yet the walk doesn't add up to somebody who recognizes the holiness of God and their own need as sinners. Folks, we are sinners. And if we don't recognize that, we got a problem. See, this is where we're going. This is where it's going. We need the Lord. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, that's kind of an important point there, isn't it? Do you see where it's possible to walk along and have something that is an issue, an ongoing barrier between us and God in a practical sense? Doesn't mean you're going to hell. This is an interference with a relationship. You know, we know what that's like in human relationships. Sometimes something can happen and cause a barrier and a breach between two people. And you realize at some point, we got to get this resolved. If we're going to be able to walk forward and go forward and just have the kind of relationship that's free, we got to get this out in the light and talk about it and resolve it. But I would be amazed if there's even one person, starting with me, that has absolutely no unresolved issues in our lives when it comes to the Lord. That's a sober thing. He goes on, but look at the value of where the Lord wants to take us. And you remember what John wrote, and you know, some people think it's the words of Jesus, I guess some people don't, but either way, it's the Word of God, where in John 3, following that John 3:16, this is the condemnation, this is the reason for God's condemnation. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light. Why? Their deeds were evil. See, light tends to reveal. There's something about human nature that hates the light of God because it shows us what we truly are, and we don't want to see that. We don't want to see it. And lost men are in the position where they don't want to come anywhere near it. Because if they do, what they really are is going to get exposed, and they don't want that. They're their own God. Self is on the throne, and it ain't leaving. It's not getting off. And that's the condition. That's the condition. But do you think that only applies to the lost? Or do you think in varying ways that we can wind up in a position where we're just a bit stiff-necked ourselves? And we don't really quite understand and see ourselves the way God does. And we're a little bit nervous about getting in that light. You know, there's a reason for that. Why do we hold back? Why is there any reserve in us from just saying, oh God, I appreciate the degree to which I see God working. I believe He is creating a hunger in us. But He's doing it because He loves us enough to want to fill that hunger and satisfy it. There's a crying out in His heart for what he's describing here. But there's no way we can experience the life of God, the filling of his Spirit, anything you want to say, any way you want to put it. We can't experience that without something happening in here that's different. Something's got to change. Now here's a key, I believe, in verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I thank God that I'm not like other men. I'm not even like that old Pharisee over there. Folks, we have ideas as to what sin is. And we think of it in terms of outward deeds like stealing, you know, adultery, murder, all those kinds of really outward, obvious sins that are just on the outside where everybody could see them potentially. But I'll tell you, everything that comes that originates in self is sin. Is there anything good in you? Certainly wasn't in Paul. He had to learn it the hard way. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, my old nature, different ways to say the same thing, dwells how many good things? No good thing. We don't like to think of ourselves in those terms. It sounds like a real downer to go around, oh, I'm so bad. That's not what God's going with this. But what he does want to be able to do is for us to willingly come to a place where he can show us what we need to see. That's been expressed in different ways. Lord, I don't want to hold back and pretend. I want to know that I am, that there's a freedom right now between us, that there's, I'm not holding anything back. If you're shining a light on something, I want to be honest about it. But oh, we have so many ways of deflecting that light and hiding from it and pretending that we're okay. And oh God, help us. What are the things that come out of our mouths? You know, there's one occasion where Jesus was criticized over dietary laws, and he said, that's not what makes a man defiled. It's what comes out of a man's mouth that makes him defiled, and that comes from his heart, and that's where that's the problem. There's all kinds of stuff in here that comes out. Well, if someone were to follow you and me around all the time, oops, and grade or evaluate, let's say, what comes out of our mouths as in this sense, was that Jesus or was that self? How would any of us be graded? Yeah. Folks, we need a Savior every single day. And if we're going to enjoy this fellowship, like I say, it's going to have to be on God's terms. We're going to have to be willing to walk in the light and actually allow him to show us things about ourselves that we don't want to see. Attitudes, thoughts, words, not just actions, but reactions. Reactions. Boy, that's an area where the devil works like crazy. How easy is it for you to be so focused on what somebody else said, what they did, their attitude, you name it, and for us to react to that and to justify it and to have all of our focus be on the other person and the bad thing they did and not see what God's trying to accomplish by allowing that in the first place? Why would he allow such a thing? So I can see what's wrong and straighten them out. You think that's what it's about? Or do you think the Lord wants us to see what just came out of us that did not originate in the heart of Jesus? Now, is that just a oops? Is that just, well, that's just my personality? Yeah, your personality is why Jesus died. And mine. Everything that comes from self, I don't care what you call it, weakness, mistakes, it's sin. It's sin. We don't call it that. Do you think maybe the Lord wants us to begin a little more honest and quit making excuses? You know, one title I thought about, you could obviously make it Walking in the Light, but no more excuses. Because there are areas that we know about. Every one of us, if we'll stop and be honest, we know about that we have been making excuses instead of bringing them to the cross. Bring them into the light and saying, Lord, this is the way it is. You know, I see people, and I feel like it's easy to misunderstand some things. You know, we'll sing a song like, He Loves Me As I Am. Well, yes, that's true. Thank God if He didn't, there would be no hope. But loving me as I am doesn't mean accepting me as I am. It doesn't mean He's so passionately in love with me that He just accepts me because that's all I am. I was born that way. It doesn't, you know, He knows I'm weak. Yeah, the thing is, He knows everything about us, and He hasn't called us to come and just, well, I'll accept you as you are. No, I came to change you. I came to deliver you. I'm a holy, pure, and righteous God. These things that you have allowed to take, to come out of your life, they're there. You don't even know they are, much of them, many of them. But here I am, and I want you to come out into the light and not be afraid to see the truth. And when you do it, I want you to lie about it and resist and fuss and fight, which we do. How many times have you seen people act seemingly out of character? And they say, I don't know what happened. That wasn't me. Sure. Who was it? Folks, if it's coming out of you, it was in you. Oh, how we like to pretend that we are better than we are. We don't walk in that place where we know that we are helpless, hopeless, apart from Him. Helpless, hopeless sinners. Oh, my God. The biggest barrier to God moving in power in any life or any church is simply sin. That we tolerate and we know about. May not be something we want to think about or face, but it's the simple truth. May God give us the grace. And of course, the devil will jump into something like this, and like I said last week, he'll paint this as what a horrible life that's got to be. Oh, it's terrible. I just got to go consciously looking so bad all the time. How disappointed he must be. Do you think he doesn't know? We're the ones who don't know. Like I say, there are things that we don't know are there. I've heard many people say, you know, I've lived the Lord this long in my life. I had no idea that was in there. Folks, we don't know the true condition of our hearts. We come into this world, we learn how to live in a broken world that's full of sin, that's defined by sin. And that's how we learn to see ourselves and see others and act and react with others, interact with others. Boy, God's got an amazing job. To take somebody out of this and tell them, and bring them to a knowledge of the truth and then do something about it. What an amazing God we have to be willing to do such an incredible thing. But do you see where it's got to start? Because suppose we're in that category. I'm okay. I haven't robbed any banks lately. You know, I get upset. I get impatient. You think Jesus in you got impatient? There's so much that we just pass off. We label it something else. And the Lord wants us to come to a place where we just simply bring that into the light, a pure light that shows us what it really is, and say, wait a minute, that's sin. That didn't come from you, Lord. That's why Jesus went to the cross, so that I could be delivered from these things. Praise God. I am so thankful for the incredible balance that there is in truth, because I, you know, like I said, the devil can paint this as a life of misery, where I constantly feel like a failure. I'm constantly trying. How many of you think it's about trying? I think we've talked about that enough. But how can we possibly ever be delivered from ourselves if we're just standing back? There's the light. Praise God for the light. I affirm everything he says. I'm all about that, yes, and I'm okay. Well, I've got weaknesses, and I've got this, and I've got that. Just my personality, just put up with it. We need to stop making excuses and call sin, sin. Because it's only then that we can do something about it. Otherwise, what are we doing? We're living lives of bondage. We're living lives that just, we don't experience the freedom that he, and the joy and the fruits of the Spirit that he says are ours in him. We don't experience that resurrection life very much. Oh, we may taste it a little bit and say, praise God, that's good. But then we're crawling back in our little hole and protecting self. Oh, I mustn't let anybody think anything about me. I've got to put on this face here where I'm okay. We need to be transparent with the Lord and say, God, that thing that I just uttered, that attitude that I just had, that I didn't even say, but it was there. Where my thoughts just went, my imagination just went out in this direction. We need to come to the place where we just say, Lord, that is sin. And what an awesome picture he paints about what to do about that. Because on the one hand, you got somebody who claims, I'm okay. I'm not doing anything real bad. I haven't committed any real outward sins. You got to see how we define them. These bad things are sins. These others are just weaknesses and parts of my personality. Hogwash. God wants us to come to that place of honesty. But when we do, then what? If we confess our sins. Now, if we're not even willing to recognize them, we don't even get to this place. We don't get there. Now, what does confess mean? It's got two parts to it. The first part is, that's something that I say. But the con means I'm with him. I walk into a courtroom and the prosecutor, probably need one, but anyway, let's start that one over again. Where was I walking in the courtroom? And the prosecutor lays out the charges against me. Now, what is the natural response to anybody when they are accused of being wrong in some area? Yeah, I didn't do it. It's not my fault. Yeah. 1,001 ways we defend ourselves. Folks, when we are confessing, we are leaving that part of the court. We are walking over here with the prosecutor and saying, yes, Judge, 100% agreement with all of the charges. I cast myself on the mercy of the court. There's nothing less that God desires from any of us but 100% agreement with him. When he shines the light in some part of our heart and we're forced to come to terms with the fact that I just thought this was a weakness, Lord, but it's sin. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. I'm willing to come to that place where I agree with Him 100%. How else can we walk in fellowship with a holy God when we're not willing to be honest about sin? And remember, if it comes from you, and it's not the Lord in you doing, saying and acting and all of that, it isn't just, oh well, it's called sin. And the Lord shines His light. Aren't you glad He doesn't shine it all at once? But the Lord knows how to take us down the pathway of the Christian life and show us things. And why does He do that? So that we can feel bad? Well, yeah, if you want to eat that proverbial box of chocolates and feel sorry for yourself, but then He's going to have to point that out and say, that's sin. Not the chocolate so much as the feeling sorry for yourself. I like chocolates. But you know what I'm talking about. We have so many ways that if you say something, if you try to focus on how bad and what the need is, all of a sudden, I start feeling sorry for myself. And, you know, one thing kind of leads to another. Every bit of that is sin. That's not what God wants from any of us. He just wants us to step forward and say, instantly, truth, Lord. No argument. How many of you are like that by nature? Not one of us. Man, we want to argue. Lord, I didn't mean it quite like that. You got it wrong. I'm not that bad. Yeah, we're worse. But the glorious thing is, if we're willing to come to that place where we confess and we're honest, He is what? Faithful. Faithful. Every time we come with an honest heart to Him and just acknowledge with an open heart, yes, Lord, like David did. He didn't make any excuses for what he had done, did he? Read Psalm 51 again. You're right, I'm wrong, 100%. And he also mentions it coming with a broken and contrite heart, doesn't he? That the Lord won't despise that. See, it's not just this grudging admission, okay, you're right. I don't like it, but you're right. No, this is, oh God, this is in me and I don't want it to be in me, and I can't help it, Lord. I need help. We've got a God who is faithful to His promises. That's what He's looking for. What's He looking for when a sinner comes to salvation? He's looking for somebody who will surrender, who will come not as a righteous person trying to gain something, but as an unrighteous person who needs a Savior and is just willing to hand the reins of their life over to Him. But isn't that what life becomes thereafter? The literal outworking of what He said He accomplished on the cross? He put us to death there, but we're the ones that have to administer that as we walk with Him in this world. But if we confess, we agree, we say it together with Him about our sins, He is faithful and just. You know, we've commented on that before. Just is a matter of being righteous. How can a holy God be righteous and forgive a sinner? That's the glory of the gospel. Because the punishment for that sin that you're just having now to come and acknowledge. Remember last week how I talked about how when we're sinning and we're agreeing with something, we're going along with it, we're sitting there pounding the nails. But here we are coming to Him, and Jesus Christ went to that cross, embraced the guilt of whatever it is you are coming to acknowledge, you're coming to a point of surrender about. You've walked in the light, and the Lord has kind of shined His light. Maybe He allowed something to happen that brought that out of you. Man, we cannot point the finger and say, God, fix them. It is always when God shines the light on your path, it's always about you. You let God deal with them. It's about you. If sin comes out, that's the only focus. Is God, I'm wrong. And you may well have to, we may well have to start confessing to one another, because many of these things involve one another. But do you not see what God has purposed in all of this? Is it to bring us to a place of a lifelong misery? Or is it to bring us to a place of freedom? He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, and it doesn't stop there. And purify or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, I don't just need him to forgive it. I need him to cleanse me from it. You know, one of the illustrations of the body that we inhabit and that the Lord comes to live in, it's referred to as in the Bible as a vessel. And a vessel is something that people make to hold liquid. Oftentimes you think of it in terms of a cup. And, you know, Jesus talked about the Pharisees and what their righteousness was like. They had these ornate cups. Oh, man, do they look good. Gold and silver. Wonderful craftsmanship. Jewels, no doubt, set in them. Oh, how wonderful they looked. Until you looked inside and you realized it was just full of junk, dirty, corrupt. See, that's what God's dealing with. And I wonder how many times we're singing, and maybe sincerely, here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Here's my cup, Lord. Oh, fill it up. But what are we presenting him to fill up? What does he see when he looks inside? See, that's something to get quiet about, isn't it? May God help us to realize that this business of him filling us is not, the problem is not on his end. The issues arise when he shines his light in our lives to show us a need. And we duck and dodge and deny and do anything in the world except, yes, Lord. We got a dirty cup. Is that what we're offering the Lord? Here I am, Lord. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I just don't want to deal with stuff in my life. I don't want to be honest about it. But oh, what the Lord's plan is here. You've got a believer who's just simple enough to walk with the Lord and say, Lord, I want, just do whatever you need to do in my life. Help me to walk in the light. And as we walk along, the Lord shines his light on something and says, here's an issue. Here's something that's, it doesn't come from me. It comes from you. It's part of your old nature. And what he does is give us the privilege of immediately bringing that to him, agreeing with him and his promise. His promise is that he is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us. We don't have to walk around as dirty vessels. We have a God who provides everything. So he wants to have a relationship with us to start with. Going to have to be on his terms. He's not going to come down and accommodate our sin. He's a holy God. But he has come up, he has devised a way through his Son where you and I can be as clean as he is. He, the scriptures tell us, became sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, I think a lot of those second work of grace doctrines arose because somebody, and I know it was probably the case in the movement I was a part of, Some servant of God, somebody was just struggling in their lives. And undoubtedly they were struggling because they had learned a Christian life, so-called, in a church movement that was a bunch of tradition. And what it boils down to is a lot of self-effort and believing the right doctrines and doing the right stuff, and it's just a religious lifestyle. And they feel the frustration of that, and suddenly they come to a place where God shows them the truth, and they break through into this different place where suddenly they can have a relationship with God, and there's a joy, there's a sense of peace and forgiveness. Oh, there's a place of sanctification. Everybody needs to go through this door. They make a doctrine out of the experience. But I don't care how it happens. Yeah, I remember in a private conversation with a gifted young minister in that movement. And he had come to it from somewhere else, and he admitted, even though the doctrine is in there, that he didn't care how we got there, you know, whether there's some great experience or something. This is where God wants to take us. And I believe if someone were to walk in the light from the moment they're saved and the truth is there, about this truth is plain to them, I believe we can simply walk and grow. Yes, we start out as little children. We don't know a lot. The thing is, we need to be willing to deal with the things we do know about. That's the only thing you and I can be possibly responsible for. If God shines His light, call it sin, bring it to the cross, let Him cleanse it. We have every right to expect that He's going to fill a vessel like that, and we can enjoy Him. We don't have to stop and wallow in the guilt. We can be real about it, but immediately go to the source of help and enter into the joy, and it becomes a walk of continual cleansing. In fact, doesn't this scripture say in some place? Yeah, back in verse 7. This is the picture of what God wants. If we walk in the light, I'm not hiding from it. I want the Lord to show me needs so that He can fix them. I want to be honest about them. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, that's pretty bright. We have fellowship with one another. Folks, this has everything to do with relationships. And folks, if your relationships in the home with others that you know are defined by human nature coming out, there's a problem that we need to be honest about and say, God, this needs fixing. I need help. I don't care what they did. I need to be right. I need to make it right. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. That's an ongoing, continual thing with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. That purifies is that Greek present tense, continuous. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Thank God there's a fountain that is continually flowing. If you cling to your sin and walk in darkness, you're going to miss some of that. You're going to be walking in a struggling life. But God wants us to be able to be so real with Him that we can call sin, sin, and come right then to the source and have perfect freedom to continue walking with Him. We don't have to, like the song says, we don't have to mess around and blow another day, or mope around and blow another day when it's a matter of seeking forgiveness. We don't have to earn that. We just come as we are. I thank God He loves us as we are, but He doesn't love us. He didn't come to save us in our sins, but from them. Oh, the price has been paid. The work was finished. But how little of it do we enjoy? And how much of that lack of freedom and enjoyment has to do with what John begins with? You see the reason why he begins with this? This is the basis of everything. Jesus Christ came to deliver us from sin, from its guilt and its power. But here we are as believers not being real about our own needs. If we'll do that, we can have this relationship that we say that we need, and we do. And I believe God can take us. He can change us. You know, like Paul said in that one place, we behold His glory, and we are what? Changed. We're being changed, being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. That's God's design for everyone here. And all I can do is just put it out there and say, God, help us to be honest. Help us to quit making excuses. No more excuses. And I think, I imagine every one of you can think of an area where you've been making an excuse.
Amen.
Well, there's one amen anyway. But I suspect a lot of others could say the same thing. You know of areas where you've been making excuses. Wouldn't that be a good place to start? And just come, whatever you know about, just bring it to the cross. Take it to the cross and leave it there. And believe His promise to forgive and to cleanse. And can we not then say, oh Lord, fill me, help me. Help me to be the person You want me to be. Help me to be with others. Lord, You deal with them, but I need to be that person. I don't need to be reactive to them and somehow justify my reaction. I need to be what You would be. In fact, you need to be yourself in me. It's not I, but Christ. It's not just in these special times. This is 24/7. Lord, help us. And I've surely can't stand here and tell you I've arrived at this. I mean, this whole subject was very troubling to even be willing to stand up here and talk about. But I have to. This is the truth. Every single one of us is on that journey if we know Him. And it can be a journey of blessing, of peace, of joy, of freedom. Or it can be one of holding back and struggling and arguing and resisting and being stiff-necked. And God, take that away from us. Give us willing hearts. Give us what we need to just humble ourselves in Your mighty hand and trust in You and believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and Your willingness to cleanse me as if I had never sinned so that I can walk with a holy God and know Him intimately. Praise God. Praise God.
Boy, did I ever knew I needed to be up here, come up here. No doubt in my mind. I think the good Lord puts us through things because He wants us to be a witness to the truth when it comes forward. But I'm going to tell you what, for the last 2 months, I have been going through what Brother Phil said, dealing with a particular thing. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's different for all of us. But I'm going to tell you this. Probably about 10 weeks ago, the Lord, He had been dealing with me in a certain area of my life. It started out gradual and then it got bigger. And it just got bigger. And then in my prayer meetings, praying in the morning, the Lord started saying, okay, but what about this? What about this? And I was surprised how I'd push it back. I would push it back. I would recognize it in my mind, but I'd push it back. And the Lord's very patient. But He did not give up. More pressure. He bring it up again. What about this? I push it back. I deal with it a little bit in my mind. But what got to me was how difficult it was for me to date. It was like 3 days in a row where I almost let it come out of my mouth, a confession of recognizing it so God could hear it and I could hear it. I was totally surprised how hard that was. I mean, the difficulty of that being expressed out of my mouth in there was, I'm going to tell you something right now. I had no idea it was going to be that difficult. It was that personal. It was that big. It got that big. And I was totally shocked. And the day that I did it, I just gripped myself and I made the words come out of my mouth confessing this thing. And I'm not going to tell you I got any victory over it or I received anything special. But it was about the same time that the panel box blew up in the house burned. It was right in there in a day or two. So I don't know if there was a coalition there or not. And I won't say I got any great victory or I had any great experience or anything like that. But the one thing I will say is me and the Lord is still talking about it. And it is like Brother Seal said, exactly like that. And what I would want to do is anytime we have a church service and we have Brother Phil or somebody up here to express, if you have something to share along, you ought to get up here and be a witness to the truth and say, yeah, that's right. What come forth is right. God worked in my life in that way. I'm a witness up here to say that that is the truth. It's the truth. Praise God, I'm glad to hear it. And the Lord said, back there I was sitting there, and the Lord said, now you know why I put you through this. Get up there. Be a witness. True. Praise God. Amen.